When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm in Paris Square in Jerusalem, where thousands of people have marched for 4 days from the kibbutz on the border of Gaza, where October the 7th happened, to here, the heart of Jerusalem, to demand their voices are heard. They're carrying pictures of hostages who are still being held in Gaza and signs saying, bring them home now. That means signing up to a ceasefire, at least a temporary one. There was supposed to be a ceasefire in Gaza by Monday, according to President Biden.
My national security advisor tells me that we're close, it's not done yet. And my hope is by next Monday, we'll have a ceasefire.
It didn't happen, but here in Israel, the pressure is on.
We want all our people back. There were normal people like you and me. And suddenly, terrorists just took them from their beds.
What do you need the government here in Israel to do now to make them come home?
I believe that the government will make the deal.
You want the government here to sign up to a ceasefire?
I hope it will happen. It would have happened yesterday.
I want the Israeli government to do everything they can to bring them back.
This is the biggest duty of the country, to bring back her citizens.
Does that mean signing up to a ceasefire deal now?
Yes, totally, of course.
Yes.
Do you think the government are hearing that message?
No, not at all.
We're from Kibbutz Kfar Aza. On the 7th of October, our kibbutz got slaughtered and butchered by the terrorists of Hamas. And we still have 5 people there inside Gaza that kidnapped. And we are here to bring them home as soon as we can.
You're carrying posters. I can see some of the pictures. Are these your friends?
They are my best friend. And they are my... I'm getting emotional when I'm talking about them, but they're my whole world. This is my new job, to do everything to bring them back. There is no other way to bring them home without do a ceasefire.
But not everyone in Israel agrees, particularly some of the far-right, ultra-nationalist ministers in Netanyahu's government.
Israel's national security minister and controversial far-right leader Itamar Ben-Gavir has threatened to bring down the Netanyahu government if it reaches what he calls a reckless hostage deal with Hamas.
In a sign of growing international frustration at Israel dragging its feet, the White House invited Benny Gantz, a member of the War Cabinet, but also Netanyahu's greatest rival, to Washington, while the Vice President, Kamala Harris, has been publicly banging the drum for a ceasefire.
And given the immense scale of suffering in Gaza, there must be an immediate ceasefire. For at least the next 6 weeks, which is what is currently on the table.
This is a critical week that could be a tipping point in the war. I've reported from Jerusalem for years, but it's rarely felt more on edge. There's a sense here that if there isn't a ceasefire by the start of Ramadan on Sunday, then violence could erupt far beyond Gaza.
The storm will come. How it will come, from where, at what time, nobody knows. But it will come. The same way that none of us have expected the 7th of October, none of us now will be able to expect what could happen in the West Bank if we don't bring this war to an end.
You're listening to Stories of Our Times from The Times and The Sunday Times. I'm Manveen Rana, here in Jerusalem. Today, will there be a ceasefire in Gaza? So, what exactly is in the deal that's on the table? As far as we know, the plan involves a 6-week pause in the fighting in Gaza that would allow aid to be brought in. 40 Israeli hostages would be swapped for around 400 Palestinian prisoners. But there are sticking points. To understand what's happening on the Israeli side, in Tel Aviv, I met with one of the most influential military thinkers in Israel.
My name is Tamir Hyman. I was the head of military intelligence up to 2 years ago. Currently, I am the managing director here at the Institute of National Security Studies in Israel.
Tamir, last week, President Biden announced that there would be a ceasefire deal. Do you think it's going to happen? And if so, when?
I think there is a very, very low probability that the hostage deal will be struck during the next few days. There is some hope because the framework of the deal is already set. We know the period of time of a temporary ceasefire. We know the numbers of hostages that were going to be released. Israel has agreed basically on the number of prisoners that will be released from Israeli prisoners. So now the ball is in the Hamas court. If Hamas agrees to those terms, we can get a deal immediately. The problem is that Hamas leadership is divided. The main decision maker is Yahya Sinwar, who is the leader of Hamas in Gaza, and he has trouble of maintaining ongoing connection with the external leadership in Qatar.
So these are the people who are actually at the table negotiating the deal, but the communications with Hamas on the ground are fraught, obviously. It's very difficult for them to get in touch. Do you think they're on the same page, though? Do you think it's just communications, or do you think there's actually a division in what Hamas wants?
They are afraid, the external leadership, afraid of being too soft, accepting a deal that he will not accept. So they are ratcheting it up, escalating their demand. Right now, we are waiting for the response of Hamas leadership in Gaza, Yahya Sinwar. And he's the one that, if he approves that, there can be a deal in a matter of hours. Yahya Sinwar cannot present himself as a moderate guy. He acts as he is more extreme than all the rest. He is the one that carried out the attack. He's the one that initiated that. So they are keep escalating their demands instead of de-escalating them and reaching a deal. A kind of a prisoner dilemma. Everybody takes decision without assurances that our other part in Gaza will approve those decision maker, creates a very, very difficult and complicated decision making process.
According to Tamir, there's huge pressure on the Israeli side to do a deal, not just from the hostage families and friends, but also from the thousands of displaced Israelis who were evacuated because of the war.
The fact that over 140,000 civilians total were forced to leave their houses and they do not know to explain to their children, to themselves, what the future looks like, what will be the conditions that will allow us to return back to our homes, that kind of create a pressure of unstable situation.
So there's that sense that all these people have been evacuated. They have no idea when they go back. So that creates instability inside Israel. Tell us a bit about the domestic political pressures on Netanyahu not to sign up to a deal.
You must remember, this government is responsible for the worst disaster in terms of national security Israel has ever suffered. Netanyahu, personally, who considers himself the guardian of Israel, he is personally responsible for it. And he has only one chance to get out of that legacy in the history book, what he called a total victory on Hamas. That is, I am responsible of the crisis, but I am responsible on the victory also. The sentiment against the government right now due to 7th of October is totally negative, and the victory is very important to him.
So, as Prime Minister, how should Netanyahu, or Bibi as he's known, convince the country that a ceasefire is more important than a total victory? I went to consult one of his predecessors and staunchest critics.
What a pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure meeting you.
Thank you so much for making the time.
My name is Ehud Olmert, and I was Israel's prime minister from 2006 to 2009.
For months now, you've been calling for a ceasefire. What do you make of the latest ceasefire deal and this hostage deal that's being discussed at the moment?
If this deal will help bring all of the hostages, I'm for it. I think that this is the main objective that we have to have in mind. We need to bring back all the hostages. And this is the ultimate responsibility and obligation, moral obligation that we have.
There's so much pressure on the government here from the hostage families. You know, I've seen the protests. And yet, the government at the moment doesn't always seem to want to listen. You know, there are elements in the government from the right who think the hostages aren't a priority. Talk us through sort of the pressures on Netanyahu in terms of domestic politics.
Netanyahu, I have no doubt in my mind that Netanyahu wants the hostages back. Problem is that he wants to remain prime minister more. The people that he is a partner with believe, I think, they can acquiesce with the loss of the hostages as the inevitable sacrifice for the protection of the sacred land of Israel and the greater Israel. That will include all the West Bank. He is a captive of messianic people, the worst possible people that are really challenging the foundations of Israel's existence. And we have to get rid of them.
So while you have this huge national debate going on, which is obviously shaping some of the thinking around the ceasefire, President Biden stood up and announced that it would happen by Monday. Optimistic, it turns out. But do you think the Americans... do you think they're placing a lot of pressure on Israel to lead to some sort of ceasefire?
Look, I must say, I like Biden. I like Biden because I know him. And I know that he's a genuine guy. I heard people saying to me, including from America, that they advise him to invite himself to speak to the Knesset and through the Knesset to speak to the people of Israel directly. And present them with the realities and with the expectations and with the needs and how things have to be accommodated. I am very much for it, and I said it. I'd add to this one thing. I'd expect him to enter into a room with Bibi, just the two of them, to use all the power of persuasion of his position in order to convince the Israeli government what needs to be done. By the way, I personally think that if he will do that, he will not lose one Jewish vote in America, which it, to some observers is a consideration that has to be taken into account. The Jews always vote Democrats, and they will vote for him regardless of whether he fights with Bibi or not. They want to get rid of Bibi. So I don't think that they will really care. But this is something that he needs to do, and I'm sure that if he will do it, he will not lose the Jews and he may gain some more.
But America needs to be stronger.
America needs to be tougher against what appears to be the present policy of the Israeli government, because this policy is against the interest of Israel, is against the desire of the majority of the Israeli people, is against the interest of the friends of Israel, and it's something that is shaking the status of Israel in the international community in a way that has never been practiced in the entire history of the state of Israel. Let's face it. I was in Great Britain a couple of weeks ago, and I could sense the reaction, not of the government. The government is great. The people in the streets. I felt very uncomfortable.
Did you really feel uncomfortable in London?
I didn't. I always feel comfortable in London because I love London. But I felt uncomfortable when I appeared in front of hundreds of people as a former prime minister of Israel that was introduced as the one that was ready to make more compromises for peace than any Israeli leader in the history of the state of Israel. And yet, I was booed because I'm Israel. And that made me feel terrible. Why? Because there should be no reason that these people will boo me, except that their emotional disposition now towards the state of Israel is so negative that they don't want to go into the details of who is who. Everything that comes from Israel is bad, and this is terrible.
Do you worry that if there isn't a ceasefire, you know, we're looking at starvation in Gaza, you know, real dangers in terms of Israel breaking international law as an occupying force by not being able to feed all the people there? Is there a fear that that will lead to generations in the West who view Israel differently in the future?
And this is definitely, look, the humanitarian aspects, I was afraid of this from the first day. I was interviewed on the 7th of October in the evening, and I said, today and tomorrow, and perhaps another couple of days, Israel will be the most sympathized with country in the world. But 5 days later, they will start to hate us, because when we will react, and maybe some uninvolved people will be killed, everything will be forgotten of what happened before, and everyone will focus on what is happening now. And this is what happened. So the political ramifications are terrible. But first and foremost is the human suffering of the Israelis, the human suffering of the victims in the Israeli south part of the country, and the suffering of all the Palestinians that are uninvolved. I can't, you know, emotionally, it's heartbreaking. I was asked several times, you know, there were 10,000, 15,000, 20,000. I said, listen, I don't really know what numbers are accurate, who counted everyone. If one baby, Palestinian baby, was killed in a brutal way, it's heartbreaking. I don't need more to make it a disaster. And so, of course, I think that we had to do what we needed to do in order to reach out for the leadership of Hamas, and we still need to try and reach out for the leadership of Hamas, but to ignore the possible consequences in terms of the human suffering, I think it's not just a mistake, I mean, a practical mistake, obviously, because the international community is so much against it. It's a moral flaw of the people that are looking at it and do not care.
Coming up, for a ceasefire deal to work, it needs the agreement of both sides. So what are the Palestinians thinking? That's in just a moment.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/newsadfree. That's Amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ahead of Ramadan, there's a palpable tension building amongst the Palestinians. There's anger over the humanitarian disaster in Gaza and the incident last week when more than 100 people were killed trying to get aid. I came down to Cafe Cafe in Beit Hanina, a Palestinian Christian neighbourhood in East Jerusalem, where the locals are also furious at the West for not doing more to help.
We don't feel very much optimistic because the Americans, the British, England is very much complicit into all these atrocities against civilians. I don't know why the international community is keeping a closed eye. With Biden, sometimes, quite frankly, I think Netanyahu is more merciful than Biden. He's playing games, okay? And your prime minister is not any better, you know. It's a question of humanity. What would these people tell their children about this genocide 10, 20 years from now when they grow up? In the past, it was kept quiet, but now there is social media. It's all documented. It's all documented. People were fighting to get flour, to get food. They killed them. They massacred them. And, you know, even Jerusalem, even the West Bank, look how many have the Israelis killed. They're persecuting us. I live here in Beit Hanina. Every time I move home, you know, there is military, there is police. It's really now obvious. Hate is really surfacing at all levels of society.
It's not just the ticking time bomb of the looming famine in Gaza. Tensions are rising across the Palestinian territories. There's a real sense here that if there isn't a ceasefire by Ramadan, anything could happen.
My name is Samer Senjlawi. I am a political activist from East Jerusalem. I'm affiliated with Fatah, but I am from the opposition to President Abbas. I'm part of those who are trying to bring reform.
We're seeing terrible pictures and stories about starvation on the ground now in Gaza. Are you hearing from people on the ground? What are you hearing about what the situation is like?
It is beyond the imagination of any human being. It's terrible what's happening there. If we go now and enter to north of Gaza, if you enter some homes and apartments, you will find whole families dead in their living rooms out of starvation, out of hunger. I know some friends there that are collecting grass and trying to eat grass. It's terrible. we might lose 500,000 Palestinians. And if this kind of siege continues for the rest of the year, 25% of Gaza population will lose their lives. People are dying now. Kids are dying now, not out of bombs, but out of starvation.
And Sama, how is the news of what's happening in Gaza, how is that playing out across the Palestinian territories?
It's a cocktail of feelings. Palestinians are angry, are very sad. I will not hide the desire for revenge that is spreading. I will not hide the mistrust and anger towards Israelis. And for Israelis, they are launching this war in order to eliminate what they call a threat to their security, Hamas. But they are transforming every Palestinian to be a good candidate of Hamas. So they are doing exactly the opposite of their actual targets. This is very short-sighted for them. Or maybe they became very blind because of their own anger and their own revenge needs.
There's been some attention on what's happening in Gaza. Journalists, you know, we can't get in. We're relying on the footage coming out of Gaza. At the same time, people haven't noticed so much what's been happening in the West Bank. Just give us a sense of how much violence there has increased over the last 5 months.
Well, because all the attention is on Gaza, the level of settler violence, the army violence in the West Bank has tripled, but nobody can notice it. Now, when you have 200 people losing their lives in Gaza, killed every day, nobody will notice another 5 or 6 Palestinians killed in the West Bank. Nobody will notice another 2 or 3 homes demolished in East Jerusalem. But lots of things are happening in the West Bank. Some of the violence is physically against Palestinians. Some of it is in terms of expanding settlements, confiscating land. Since 7th of October, almost 220,000 workers who work inside the Israeli market have been prevented to reach to their works. And this is maybe 40% of the economy of the West Bank. So it is a catastrophe.
And Sama, they've lost 40% of the economy because workers aren't allowed to come and work in Israel. On top of that, though, they've lost their own earnings from tax. Just explain what's happened with that.
You know, Israel has been seizing the taxation money. In accordance to Paris Protocol and the Oslo Agreement, all the customs and taxes on goods imported by the Palestinians is collected by the Israeli Ministry of Finance. And then the obligation of the Ministry of Finance in Israel is to transfer these money to the authority. But since this extreme right-wing government has controlled Israel, and especially a fanatic like Smotrich is the Minister of Finance, he has been refusing to transfer this money to the authority. President Biden was forced to spend 40 minutes over phone with Netanyahu last month in order to convince him to pay this money to the authority, and he didn't succeed.
And this is money that the West Bank is owed. It's tax receipts that they are owed, but they're not being paid.
Yes.
And how much is that affecting life in the West Bank, that these taxes have stopped coming in?
Well, the authority is collapsing financially. They are not able to pay 250,000 employees, the civil servants and the security personnel that are managing the West Bank. So, in a way or another, the Israelis are shooting themselves in the leg. The two main sources of the income for the Palestinian economy, which is the taxation money that pays the salaries for the PA employees, and those who are working inside Israel, both 500,000 jobs are not getting salaries for months. This is the weather for catastrophe. This weather will bring a storm. And this storm will bring a lot of escalations. The storm will come. How it will come, from where, at what time, nobody knows. But it will come. The same way that none of us have expected the 7th of October, none of us now will be able to expect what could happen in the West Bank if we don't bring this war to an end, especially now that we are less than 1 week away from Ramadan.
Sama, is that a genuine threat? Do you really think the West Bank could have a terrorist attack like October the 7th?
Something could happen. We cannot just put our heads in the sand and say there is security stability in the West Bank. It's the opposite.
Sama, over the last few days, I've really felt it. You know, talking to Arab Israelis too, they can't go shopping in the West Bank anymore. There are more checkpoints than ever. It takes 5 hours to try and get in. The economy is collapsing in the West Bank. 500,000 people, as you said, not being paid wages. It feels like it's a powder keg. Something could happen any minute. At the same time, there are tensions ahead of Ramadan in East Jerusalem too. Just talk us through what's been happening with Arab Israelis and the rules around Ramadan.
Well, if Ben-Gvir will be able to force his measures in Ramadan.
This is one of the most right-wing members of the Netanyahu government.
Yes. If Israel will prevent people to come and pray in Al-Aqsa Mosque, I guess this will initiate a lot of escalations. You don't know how Ramadan connects Muslims, Palestinians also, and Muslims all over the world. And Al-Aqsa is the place Muslims feel that Al-Aqsa is safe when they see 500,000 Palestinians coming to pray each Friday. If they see Al-Aqsa empty, if they see people fighting, trying to enter, maybe shot at or attacked by the police, then something will click. And any escalation that is related to Al-Aqsa Mosque in Ramadan could transform the issues from locally to regionally and maybe internationally. It will connect to every Muslim in UK, in USA, everywhere. So bringing this war to a ceasefire during Ramadan is a regional and international security issue. It should worry every policymaker all over the world.
There is a huge threat there of what might happen. If the ceasefire, though, doesn't happen because of Hamas, do you think Palestinian people will turn against them? I mean, obviously you come from a party that is the political opposition to Hamas, but do you think ordinary Palestinians, will they hold Hamas responsible for the deaths that keep continuing?
Well, most powerfully, it's Israel that is held responsible, not only by Palestinians, by the rest of the world. Even if such agreement will not happen now, there is no reason why shouldn't Israel respect Ramadan and hold its military operation as a courtesy for the Muslim world? Gaza has 2.3 million people. 90% of them is not Hamas. Why should you punish all of them for something that they did not take part in or never been consulted in? You cannot keep the rest of the people starving to death because of something they have never done. So it needs to stop.
And Sama, if we don't get to a situation now where there is a ceasefire by Ramadan, I mean, how bad could this get?
It will get very bad. Biden knows it. And the invitation for Gantz to meet the vice president in the White House, it's a source of pressure to Netanyahu that Biden is fed up from him. So everybody really is pushing for a ceasefire before Ramadan. We still have some few days. I hope it will happen, because if not, it's going to be a catastrophe.
Yesterday, ceasefire talks in Cairo between Hamas and Egyptian and Qatari mediators continued. But Israel boycotted the talks, as Hamas still hadn't named the hostages who were still alive. Egyptian media said the talks were facing difficulties. You've been listening to Stories of Our Times, a podcast brought to you thanks to the subscribers of The Times and The Sunday Times. Today's episode was presented and produced by me, Manveen Rana, with help from James Shield. The executive producers were Fiona Leach and Kate Ford, and sound design was by Mao Lasetto. If you have any thoughts on what you've just heard or any ideas for future episodes, then please do drop us a line to storiesofourtimes@thetimes.co.uk. And if you found this episode useful at all, then please do tell a friend. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.